Hello. This is Interneted. I'm a slightly too enthusiastic Michael Bird.
Never too enthusiastic. I love it. Thank you. Hello, Michael. Hello. I'm Rob Murgatroyd.
Okay. Oh.
Just in case you didn't know.
Hello. Hello. The next
one. I'm just reading off the script. I went ad-lib and then I went straight back to the script. It sounded weird.
Yeah. You sounded like a robot, meat morp. welcome, Rob, and everyone.
Thank you.
To our show about tech gadgets on the internet by a couple of blokes who are always being asked how to fix most of it. Isn't that correct, Rob?
That is correct, Michael. Thank you for joining me. That's right. On this show, we will be keeping you, the listener, informed with all the latest tech news and the coolest and most interesting things from around the internet. Think of this show as your indispensable guide for everything worth knowing about the internet this week.
So, buckle up, sit back, relax, and enjoy the show from two blokes in our
spedge bedroom.
Yes, that. One of whom is in self-isolation.
Whoop, whoop, whoop.
This is Interneted. It was fading down as I faded it up. It beat me. It beat me up.
Beaten by the music.
All right.
Well, it's probably a good thing to start the show then.
Yeah.
Do you think?
Yeah. Can I?
Yeah. Happy with that?
Can I apologise? We had another week where we didn't release an episode, and that was because
we did.
Why was that, Rob?
We had another week missing from an episode because someone was not feeling it. He's just not feeling it.
No.
And that's okay.
We were supposed to, because of course we do it live. We couldn't get to the studio because I was in self-isolation. That's what we'll say.
Yes. Yeah. That sounds better.
Yeah.
No. Michael was having a bit of a rough time, and we wanted to help him out by not putting the pressure, because my goodness, you should see behind the scenes the pressure he puts on himself
and on you,
his warm up routines, and on me. Yeah, he set some very rigorous guidelines.
I'm like Steve Jobs. I expect perfection.
Oh, you're worse than Steve Jobs. You're like the guy from Whiplash. Better do it again, Rob. Do it again. That's not right.
Yeah, I'm not saying we do record this. Or if we do it live, but when we have done, I make Rob do a 6-hour rehearsal,
full dress.
None of this is ad lib. Yeah. This is all scripted.
It's all scripted. We go hard on our scripts.
Everything we're saying right now is scripted. Bananas, pineapple, aubergine, cauliflower.
Even that laugh and the way we say things as well is very, very rigorous.
Okay, Rob, back to the script. Even that was scripted.
Back to the script. So yeah, we like to keep you informed of all the latest tech, in case you couldn't tell from that bit. So in this section, we'll be going through the most exciting bits of tech news from this week. We like to sift through the autonomous beer coolers, Segway Polo, and smart mattresses, so you don't have to.
The latest tech news. That was my favourite bit. All right, well, shall I tell you what I've got? Shall I tell you what I've got, robot?
Someone left far too many spaces in between those words. I read it as it's written.
When I first met you, I met you, actually, because you remember, well, I don't want to divulge how we first met, but I didn't meet you in person. There was a piece of information I knew about you before I even met you in person. And before I even met you in person, I nicknamed you Robot Murgatroyd. So
why did you name me that? What was the information?
Well, Should I just say? The first thing I knew of you was your CV. That was the first thing I knew of you.
It was.
Yeah.
It was.
Because I interviewed you for this show. Even though I knew you, we worked together, I still insisted on a CV before.
You were at the long game for this. You sort of got my CV. You had this plan for this show many years advanced.
6 years ago.
And then you wanted to vet me thoroughly, didn't you? So you got my CV. And then you suddenly decided you'd get a job somewhere and then employ me so that you can vet me in a different scenario.
Yeah, vetted you for 3 months and then
cooled down. Became your boss.
Cooled down period for a year and then, yeah. Anyway, well, you're really playing up to the Robot Murgatroyd nickname with your tech news.
Don't know what's happening to me.
It's like you've never read words before.
Not these ones. I'm been rushed off my feet this week, Michael, doing all sorts of things outside the house.
Yeah, fair enough.
You wouldn't know what it's like.
No, I don't. I've been staring, hand on the windows, the rain trickles down. Dido
player. Well, hopefully that means you've been... I mean, great song. But hopefully that means you've been keeping up to date with all the latest tech news.
Yippee-ki-yak on the buckets. I definitely have. I'm watching a lot of Brooklyn Nine-Nine. So the one thing we didn't discuss last week was Windows 11 was officially announced. So we talked a little bit about it before, but Windows 11 was officially announced. And pretty much all the stuff that was leaked was exactly what was announced. So
we don't need to cover it because we already covered it.
I'll give a brief overview.
What's a roundup?
Well, mainly, it's just cosmetic. It sounds like, and that's what a lot of people are saying. It's basically Windows 10 with a much nicer looking skin on over the top of it. So there's a centralized taskbar. The start button is in the middle, for some reason, a little bit like how Mac have done it. An updated App Store, Windows Store. Some updated themes. They've got widgets. It's going to be slightly better for touch. But the main bit of confusion was the minimum specifications. So I don't want to get into too much boring, nerdy, techie thing, but you need a TPM 2 chip to be able to upgrade to Windows 11.
What is a TPM chip? What does that mean?
Well, so TPM stands for Trusted Platform Module. And as I understand it, it's basically a chip that verifies the operating system and other such secure elements.
Okay.
I think it's
aren't all processors TPM processors?
Well, most modern ones should have a TPM chip. I don't know if it's actually on the processor. I think it might be something that's separate on the motherboard, but I might be wrong. Do you think I'm wrong?
I have no idea if you're wrong. I'm going to say you are wrong because that hedged my bets.
So as I understand it, it's basically a chip that is used for security. I don't know if it's used in the same way. I think I may have said it on a previous podcast. It is, so let's just go for it. A little bit like the secure enclave that iPhones have got. So it's used for secure things. I don't think it's quite like that, but I think it's used for secure transactions between the computer and the hardware of the computer and the software of the computer, I believe.
Okay, so it has to be one of those to support Windows 11.
Yes.
How do we know if our computer is, and how many, is it likely to be everyone?
That's the problem. It's really hard to figure out. It's buried deep in what's known as the BIOS, which is the kind of the part of the hardware that you can access before Windows actually starts up. And you and I we've both built computers, and we've built computers using different bits of hardware. When you go onto the BIOS, the kind of the nerdy bit of, I'm explaining it really badly, but when you go onto the BIOS of the computer, it's really hard to figure out what actually anything means.
Yeah, it's a very complicated system. You've got to Google everything before you even attempt looking at it.
Basically. So there was a lot of confusion around that. And a lot of the, it seems like it's not a hard, it seems like it's a soft requirement. That is, there's nothing in the operating system that necessarily needs it. It's just been added in by Microsoft to try and encourage the use of TPM chips and for hardware manufacturers to include TPM chips. It also meant that eBay was flooded with lots of people trying to sell external TPM chips, for want of a better phrase, to be able to enable computers to be able to boot to Windows 11. So that was there's a bit of confusion around that. I don't think it's been totally resolved.
Do we think, we still don't know how many people are actually going to be able to use Windows 11. There's still going to be that era of people who won't be able to upgrade from Windows 10. Right?
And there's that very Windows thing of when you try and install it, you just get a pop-up that says, your computer doesn't match the requirements. And that's what you get. You don't get like, this isn't right. Or this. It just says like...
It's just not happening.
Sorry.
Not going to be for you.
Don't know, mate.
Yeah. But we, did we say this is a free upgrade? It's confirmed that it was free, isn't it? You don't have to pay for this unless you need all new computer
it
to
is,
install
it. It is free. Yes, it is free.
It's a free upgrade.
It is free, which is good.
Because they did promise that they would never make you pay for another one again, which seems to be going on.
That's exactly what they've. That's exactly what they have done, and they said they were going to do, and they did so. So that's good of them.
Wonderful.
All right. Anything else worth note? I mean, it's mainly cosmetic.
It also runs Android apps. It does run Android apps.
You're right.
But it does it in a very strange way, doesn't it? It doesn't sort of do it in the way you might expect. Isn't it the case where you have to install the Amazon Marketplace?
Oh, yeah,
which
I did
then
hear about
lets
that.
You access Android apps, but only Android apps that are present on the Amazon Marketplace to then install them on your Windows
computer.
As in
you can't like sideload them.
You wouldn't be able to go to the Google Play Store, which is, you might think would be the place that you could go to download apps.
Why have they done that?
I have no idea. But I imagine that the techie people out there would be able to find a way to install all Android
apps.
Yeah,
of course.
Like, sideload them.
Yeah, of course, of course.
But that's going to be quite cool, especially if they're trying to improve touch. Having a load of Android apps coming to Windows is only ever going to be a good thing, I think.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, that was my rather patchy Windows 11 update. That'll do.
Patchy. You should have done it for a Windows patch. That would have been great. Say it for next time.
Yeah, I'll say it for next time. All right. What have you got, sir?
Something I saw, I didn't actually know about it until it ended, and they made a news article about it, but Microsoft and Google have apparently had a six-year truce running for the last 6 years, but that has now come to an end. So historically, before this six-year truce, Microsoft and Google would be taking sort of pot shots in the media or on social media, sort of attacking each other for their privacy or the way they do things. But that came to an end due to a legal truce for 6 years, and now that's over. So keep an eye out for new adverts in the future for Microsoft slamming Google and Google slamming Microsoft. It could be quite funny.
That's quite interesting.
I hope that it is quite funny. I don't think, you know, I want to see things like that continue more and more. I think it's good for the user. It encourages people to challenge the way that these big companies do things. And if they call each other out, then that's good for the user, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you want companies to hold each other accountable. Because as users, it's quite hard to hold big companies accountable. So, I mean, I quite like what Apple has been doing with really like playing up to their privacy credentials, which has kind of meant that Google, who've traditionally been a little more liberal with some of their privacy, the way that they approach privacy, certainly in the past, it was like they would just...
A bit more gung-ho.
They would just do things because, well, why not? Let's just try it without really thinking about what the implications might be. So I think it's quite good, I think, having big companies holding each other accountable and trying to one-up each other from in stuff that benefits consumers, I think. So that's good.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, and people have been saying that potentially the end of this agreement may have been part of the reason why the Android Google Play Store wasn't the way to get apps onto Windows 11, and actually they
why
went to Amazon.
Because I didn't think Amazon made
they have an app store obviously for their Fire tablets.
Do they still make them?
They do still make them, and they're always very cheap. But they are like a much reduced app store. So it's a weird move. You get Android apps, but not many of them. But anyway. Yes.
So
Microsoft and Google are going at each other.
So you know how much I like talking about space. So from now on, pretty much everything I talk about is going to be space related, coincidentally. Okay. So
from every episode in the future.
From every episode. From now on. From every conversation you and I have on the telephone. Hey, mate, do you want to come over? And I'll say...
It's time for launch.
In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, lift off.
Houston, we have a problem. I'm not going to enjoy that.
I was interviewing somebody on a different podcast, and this is the most embarrassing thing. So I thought, why don't I share it with you and the whole world? I was talking to somebody about on a podcast, and it was a space related podcast, and they talked. I can't believe I said this. and they were talking about how they were using something to solve a problem. And I said, so really, it's Houston, we have a solution. And I could hear the person, it was awful for me. It must have been incredibly awful for that person. Just be like, why did you say that?
Did you have to say that?
I cringed pretty hard when I said this Houston, we have a solution.
Did that make it to the final episode?
I don't know. We haven't finished.
Should that be the title of the whole episode?
Houston, we have a solution. You know, it might be. I bet that's probably what the title would be.
That's what I would call it.
Yeah.
That's 100% what I would call it.
Okay. Anyway, sorry. So my first bit of space news, in fact, all the news is going to be about Richard Branson. So this week, or in the next few weeks, both Richard Branson and Jeff Bezos, so Richard Branson, founder of Virgin, the Virgin Group, started making records. Virgin Megastore, Virgin Mobile, Virgin Cola, Virgin Trains, not anymore, gone but not forgotten, Virgin Atlantic, and
Virgin Media. Okay.
Any more?
The balloons.
Virgin hot air balloons.com. Virgin Experiences.
There you go. That's the one.
Any more I can think of. That's it.
He's done a lot.
If you can think of any more, just shout them out. Virgin Galactic. I'm about to talk about Virgin Galactic. So, So Richard Branson and Jeff Bezos. Jeff Bezos off of Amazon Prime.
He did it. Jeff Bezos.
Yeah, he did it. So they are both racing to reach space in the next couple of weeks. And Richard Branson is probably going to win.
Ooh.
So
what do they mean by going to reach space?
Okay, so that's a very, very good question.
Thank you.
And so I'm just going to fill with trying to find the definition of what space is. So I think it's... So space is counts as... How far is it? What is it? I can't see.
We're going to do it in feet or metres outside, up above the crust, the surface.
Yeah, from the crust, from the mantle.
From the mantle.
Oh, I don't know. I haven't got it here in front of me.
Lots.
Let's say...
Many.
Double the height of an aeroplane. I don't know. Very, very high. But... So I think you'll experience weightlessness, I would have thought. Otherwise, what's the point? It's just going up in an aeroplane, isn't it?
What's the point? Okay.
Yeah. So, So Richard Branson, who is 70...
Wow, he's getting on.
Doing all right, isn't he? Good innings, yeah. They say. So he's going to be going up hopefully on the 11th of July, which is next Monday?
Next week.
This week after next.
This week. This Sunday. It's this Sunday.
This Sunday coming. So he is going to be going up into space on the Virgin Galactic mission. And so this is going to be, I think Richard Branson was probably the first to come up with this idea, space tourism.
He's been talking about it for a long time,
hasn't
he?
Absolutely, years. And Virgin Galactic have had the okay from the Federal Aviation Administration. Federal Aviation Administration, who basically say that he can go and fly, which is great. And
wonderful.
But Jeff Bezos's Blue Origin don't have approval until the 20th of July.
Blue Origin. I haven't heard of that one.
Blue Origin, Jeff Bezos is going to do the first flight with a lady who has what I can only describe as one of the greatest names ever. Her name is Wally Funk. Bow, bow. And she was one of the... she was a legendary aviator. I think basically she was part of this privately funded space program called... It was called Mercury something, which got disbanded. So she never actually got to go to space, but she basically trained to be an astronaut.
But she knows how.
She knows how.
She knows how to do it.
I think she's something like 80-something.
Is she
82.
Is she piloting? Or is she just along for the ride?
I think she's along. Well, she can fly airplanes, so...
She could do it.
Why not?
Why not?
Maybe they'll just give her, can I have a go? And they'll go, yeah.
Yeah.
What's the worst that could happen?
Yeah. That's cool. Isn't it crazy that the space race is now between billionaires?
Yeah, I mean, everyone's bored.
It used to be
massive yachts, but now it's just
We've done everything on the surface of the earth. Let's go somewhere else.
So interestingly, so Blue Origin, as far as I'm aware, is one of those like traditional rockets. You know, starts on a launch pad, goes up in the air, and then lands.
Yeah.
In like a little capsule. You know, like the classic rockets. Classic Whereas rocket. Virgin Galactic is, it kind of piggybacks on another aeroplane. So it's a big aeroplane, and it's kind of like hooked underneath. They get to a certain altitude and then it gets released and then
takes off.
Yeah, takes off. So that's really interesting because I think it's interesting taking different approaches.
It is interesting. And do you think Elon Musk will just drive by in his little Tesla in space and wave at them?
Yeah, probably.
Past?
Well, I watched Armageddon last night. And yes, and I mean, what this helps me to realise is we need lots of options when the massive rock... coming for us, and we need Bruce Willis.
It's inevitable, isn't it?
Bruce Willis, and
is that the one where he goes on to the asteroid and
with
spoilers?
Yeah, with Ben Affleck and Owen Wilson doesn't make it, unfortunately.
Ooh,
That is a spoiler.
That is a spoiler. He may make it.
He didn't. Well, he didn't have many lines, so you kind of knew that he wasn't going to make it. I can't remember who else stars in it, but so it's good. We got lots of different options. So there we go.
It's good to know that the billionaires are thinking about these problems that we mortals aren't. You know?
The billionaires are doing everything they can to get off the earth.
It's always promising.
So there we go. Right, what have you got, sir?
I saw that... So you're enjoying the way I'm talking today. You really are.
Look, you are a very, very articulate man. But it is like you've never read English before.
You know what? I've been struggling all day. My girlfriend will confirm that. I've been struggling all day to say any words at all. So the fact that I'm making any sentences coherent is a surprise.
You know what? If that's the case, then two thumbs up for you. Those two thumbs up work so well for radio.
It's because this new flat that I'm in, I have moved flat recently.
Yeah.
Is super heated. It's we call it the sauna because the heating is broken currently. So we're basically living in tropical, I wasn't going to say paradise, we're living in tropical hell.
Yeah.
So you know, that's why my brain's all muddled. It's mushy.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. That's okay. You know what? I'll give you a break.
Thank you. Please don't.
What bit of news have you got?
So I saw that Sony,
yes,
the PlayStation makers, they have acquired yet another game studio added them to their repertoire.
Ooh.
And it's they made the recent video game Returnal, which was a PlayStation 5 exclusive game.
Was that the one where you, it keeps repeating itself, or was that different?
Yes, so it was the I think I mentioned it on the show.
Yeah, you did. Yeah,
released a couple of months ago.
What's the genre called?
Roguelike.
Yeah, okay. You have no lives, but you just play the game over and over again and you accumulate stuff.
If you die, you'll be sent back to the beginning, but you're essentially trying to make it all the way through to the game in one run. It's the end of the game in one run. Which
Do people video themselves doing that?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. People do it. And people have been having a lot of fun with it, and as they said, it's a really impressive game, and that the studio, Housemarque is the name of the developers who made that game, makes some really quality content, and so people are very excited by this announcement. And they're also suggesting that Sony might be acquiring another studio called Bluepoint Games, who recently remastered the Demon's Souls video game for the PlayStation 5's release. So Sony are gathering up, they're collecting all the studios they can, it seems.
Everyone seems to be acquiring game studios. Is it a bad thing for the games industry?
I think it's probably good for the studios themselves. So these were fairly independent studios. Housemarque was independent and Bluepoint Games were independent as well. The fact that they have the backing and the financial support from Sony means that they can take on bigger projects and have bigger scope to what they're developing. I guess the only negative was the recent acquisition of Bethesda. Bethesda Game Studios was acquired by Microsoft, which now means that all their games in the future will be exclusive to the Xbox platform.
Were they really?
Which
is that what they've
some
said?
People are quite disappointed in. Yeah.
That's awful.
So it's, I mean, obviously they're PlayStation exclusives, they're Xbox exclusives, and to be honest, PlayStation have been dominating the exclusives sort of market for a while. Xbox didn't really have any games that was only exclusive for Xbox that people really cared about. So I think Xbox are trying to catch up, which is why they acquired Bethesda. But Sony are acquiring these smaller studios, which sort of put their heart and soul into all the games that they make, and they make some really good stuff. So there you go.
Oh, that's a shame that Bethesda is going to be exclusive to Xbox. Not that I have a PlayStation or an Xbox, but the games that I first really got into was Fallout, which was Bethesda, wasn't it?
Yeah, it is a shame. And it's, you know, some of the games that they make were some of the things that I played really early on in my gaming career, I guess you call it, as well. So it's sad. I may not be able to play them. But I'm sure the quality of them will be fantastic for those people that do have them.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. It does leave people out. But as I said, Sony have been doing the same thing for a long time with their games. Maybe it just encourages everyone to buy two consoles, which is very difficult for those people.
Because they're quite expensive.
They are expensive.
All right. Do you want some more space news?
Give it to me. What's Richard been doing now?
Well, okay. So I talked about Virgin Galactic. So there's another sister company called Virgin Orbit. And Virgin Orbit is their kind of commercial satellite launching arm. And they are a company kind of built around launching small satellites. So, you know, some of the examples that I saw were kind
of... How small are we talking? Is it sort of
size of a shoebox. Hockey puck size.
Like everything.
Like everything I describe as hockey puck size. like shoebox. Shoebox and bigger. Maybe shoebox and smaller. But obviously shoebox and bigger size. So they have successfully launched their first satellite, their first commercial mission, which is awesome. So how they launch rockets is actually really interesting, similar to what I just explained before, but I think it's quite cool. So they launch rockets off a previously used by Virgin Atlantic Boeing 747 modified, that it holds a rocket under one of the wings, the aircraft is called Cosmic Girl, and on the you know, like how Boeing 747 has kind of got two floors, so the bottom floor has been totally stripped of everything, all the overhead bins, all of the chairs, everything, just to reduce weight, so it's just totally empty. And then the kind of top floor has got like a mini mission control in it, and then the pilot is this lady who I think she used to work for NASA. And she was one of the people that had flown the modified Boeing 747 that used to transport the space shuttle.
Oh, yeah.
So, she's pretty experienced. What they basically do is they fly to a certain altitude. Don't ask me how high. they fly to a certain altitude, and then the aeroplane pitches its nose up a certain degrees. Let's say 30 degrees, 45 degrees, I don't know. Pitch the nose up. Keeps flying. Obviously, it will probably stall at some point, so it keeps flying. And then the rocket then drops off the wing, that the aircraft peels off, because obviously you don't want to be anywhere near a rocket going off, especially if it doesn't take off properly. And the rocket engines start. I think it counts to 10 or something. So counts to 10 or maybe 5. Rocket engines start and then carries on. And obviously the advantage of doing that is that you're much higher up, so you've got to spend less energy getting up. So I guess you can have... Excuse me, you can have... Maybe smaller rocket engines, less fuel on board.
That's insane. Imagine cool, isn't seeing it? That.
Yeah.
It's like a plane doing a wheelie.
Yeah.
Like pulling a wheelie and then a rocket launching.
Exactly.
That
exactly that. Mental.
Don't they do that? I'm sure I saw a trailer for the new Top Gun film where they do a similar sort of move.
So not to get too nerdy, but fighter jets, they have got a lot more thrust. So they can do a lot of thrust. So what's that from? Chicken Run.
That's Chicken Run. We need more thrust.
We need more thrust. Anyway. So they have a lot. Their engines are a lot more powerful. So you may have seen like videos from air shows. I've seen one of these at an air show where they Eurofighter Typhoons, the fighter jets that we have in the UK, and they literally will take off almost vertically up off the runway without stalling, because that's the dangerous thing. If an aircraft pitches its nose too high, this is getting proper nerdy. It can stall, basically, and it will essentially fall from the sky. And you don't want to be doing that on a commercial.
I don't know what happens, but how do they do loop the loops then?
It's
got to rev the engine really hard.
This is not my area of expertise, but anyway, I've been on an airplane that has done a loop the loop. And what the pilot did do was he made sure he was very, very high. And then he did a dive, picked up quite a bit of speed. and then did a loop the loop. So I'm guessing it's just about having enough momentum and speed.
Momentum, yeah.
It's a very surreal experience. You were really cool. Pushed into your seat when I did a loop the loop with.
I guess the G forces.
The G force, yeah. It's a little propeller aeroplane, but it was fun.
It was very cool.
It was with a pilot who flew, fighter jets. But he wasn't. It wasn't in a fighter.
Was it Tom Cruise?
It was Tom Cruise. Yes. How did you guess?
You can say the name. I know. He's the only one that can fly fighter jets.
Exactly. Yeah. so that's why fighter jets have got a lot more thrust. They've got a lot more maneuverability. They also have lots of computers. So modern fighter jets, they're not aerodynamically stable. That means if they didn't have a computer, they would basically fall out of the sky because they're not aerodynamically kind of built for it.
Stupid airplanes.
So there's lots of lots of computers doing all the auto-correcting, which is why they're fly-by-wire. But we went off on a tangent there about airplanes, and we should save that for the other podcast we do about airplanes called
Aviation with Michael.
Aviation with Michael.
Yeah.
And Rob.
No, Rob's just...
Oh, you're like, it's just me on my own doing it. You're not.
I'm just there heckling you every now and again.
Why does the airplane stall? Yeah.
Do a loop the loop.
How does a loop the loop work? And me just fumbling around, talking like I'm...
Yeah, sorry about that.
Sorry if anyone listening to this is a pilot, knows what they're talking about, and sorry if I've absolutely...
Please write in and tell us how a loop the loop actually works.
Yeah, so it's Robert MU at...
MichaelBird.com.
Right.
What else? I've seen, Elon. We can't do a show without mentioning Elon. What's he been doing? One of his many companies, the Boring Company, is doing something new. So they are, they did that tunnel.
The silly one in Las Vegas, which LA. Is a total, looks like just a total waste of money. Yes.
Rubbish.
Yeah, go on.
Well, Florida saw that and was like, you know what? We want some of that. We want some of that action. That looks great.
Let me just explain for the listener, right? Why this is the most mind... I just don't understand it, right? So what Elon Musk has done is he's built a tunnel under Las Vegas from one part of Las Vegas to another part of Las Vegas, because Las Vegas is well known to be very, very hard to get through. You know, traffic, and they haven't got a particularly good mass transit system. So what this city is crying out for is some sort of like mass transit system, maybe extend the monorail.
Yeah.
Apparently the monorail wasn't extended because the taxi companies lobbied the city, which is...
Fair enough.
So maybe you build an underground metro, like New York or London's got, when you do that. Mm-hmm. So Elon Musk pitches up and he says, how about I build the tunnels for a metro, but rather than put trains on it or even buses, because some cities have got buses that run on little tracks underground, which is pretty high capacity, like a train can carry about 1,000 people. They're really efficient.
Great.
Why don't I just put people in cars under the city?
But what cars would they be?
Teslas, obviously.
They'd have to be a Tesla, yeah.
So what we've done, right, is we've solved the issue of having too many cars on the street that is very gridlocked by putting cars underground.
But also probably going to be gridlocked, but just underground.
Yeah, because you can you can carry, five people in a car? Four people? Because the cars aren't self-driving. There's a driver driving them. He's built an underground taxi service. That's what he's built.
He's conned, because I'm sure, and this news article said, the early idea of the Boring Company creating these tunnels was that they were going to make high-frequency autonomous electric sleds.
Yeah, and they were going to be like high-speed.
Dozens of people, like really high-speed, like the Futurama tunnels, if you've ever seen those.
Hyperloop, jobby.
All that really cool stuff. He's just gone, nah, it's too difficult. Let's just put cars down there. So very disappointing. But as I say, Florida's said, we want some of that action. And they're now pitching to put a transit loop in for connecting the city of Miami to Fort Lauderdale. The beach. So they're connecting the beach to the city, which the city is very happy with because they know people love going to the beach. but, it's a very odd situation where I think what he's proposing is, again, building these tunnels to hopefully put in this super high-speed electric sleds. But again, is he going to do that, or is he just going to put the cars in
there?
But
that's it. It might be that Las Vegas eventually gets the sleds, but from the sounds of it,
It's just going to do the same thing.
I just don't get it. How are people... Maybe it's really, really cheap, but I watched this video that kind of took a piece apart the boring company tunnels, and it was like, yeah, it's still pretty expensive, like
yeah,
tens of millions of pounds. But anyway,
yeah,
maybe he knows something we don't. Perhaps
he knows how to con people into making tunnels.
I wouldn't say that.
I wouldn't say
Elon Musk. If you'd like to go for Rob, if you'd like to send your lawyers towards Rob, that's fine.
I mean, you've been digging some tunnels, so you've lived up to that promise.
Yeah, he's dug tunnels, and those tunnels are boring. So
he's done boring stuff.
All right, anything else?
That was it.
I've got no more news. It's been, you know what? It's been a quiet news week and couple of weeks, hasn't it?
It has been. Yeah, the tech world has sort of had a bit of a rest. They're not pumping out too much, so.
All right.
Who knows?
Well, we'll be back with part two of Interneted right after this.
Beautiful.
All right, Rob.
All right, Michael.
All right. Hey, hang on.
All right, mate.
Hey,
all right.
Yeah.
What's wrong?
What? Hey.
You good?
I'm good.
Hang on. What are we hanging on for?
What? Yeah, no, I'm nothing.
Oh. You said hang on, and then...
You know what? I did say hang on, and I...
You did.
Should we...
I hang off every word that you say.
Should we start again? Should we just...
We can do that again.
Okay.
All right. Welcome back to Interneted.
Smooth. Smooth like gravel, that was.
Thank you very much. And you know what time it is, Michael?
Oh.
It's time for the part of the show that we call... Here are the cool things we have found on the internet this week.
All right, Rob. Time for you to start singing.
Oh, yes. I already recorded this, so I don't know what you're talking about. This is time for you to start singing.
Yes. As the name of this eloquently named... and so wonderfully introduced feature suggests, we have been weeding through the web, navigating the net, scouring search engines, ransacking Reddit, going from A to B on HTTP, getting fitter by using Twitter, getting our fix of Netflix, having an oogle of Google, looking at a ream of memes, a throw of DuckDuckGo, and a regroup of YouTube.
My favourite one.
To find the coolest things on the internet for you, dear listener. Rob, tell us the rules.
Well, the rules are very, very strict for this segment. Each week we both bring the coolest thing, or things, that we found on the internet this week. Apart from that, there aren't really many other rules. Basically, if you can find it on the internet, whatever it might be it a video, a song, an interesting fact, a TV show, whatever it might be, we can let you know about it. So, Michael, do you want to go first?
Yeah,
what have you seen on the internet?
This is basically an opportunity for us to just talk about cool things that we've done this week.
Oh, yeah.
Because you can pretty much say anything is on the internet, can you?
Everything's related to the internet.
Yeah. We could talk about a cool meal that we had because we ordered it through, you know, Deliveroo.
Just had a McDonald's order through the internet.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
First thing, done. Tick.
Because they took so long to deliver it, it was chilly by the time it arrived. Whoa! Real jokes.
Hey, all. Well, I'm going to talk about a book.
Okay, very internet themed.
Which I read.
One of those on a Kindle.
Exactly, I'm reading it on my Kindle.
And I downloaded it through the internet. You wouldn't have been able to read it without the internet.
Exactly, yeah, without the internet. And what did I say earlier? I'm only going to be talking about...
Oh, you meant everything. Richie Branson.
I'm only going to talk about space. This isn't Richard Branson's book. I'm only going to be talking about space. So I have started a book, which I can highly recommend. So do you know the film The Martian?
I do know.
Starring
Matt
Damon.
With Matt Damon growing potatoes.
Growing potatoes on Mars. So that was originally a book written by a guy called Andy Weir. And if you've not read the book, it is fantastic. It is hilarious. It's so much better than the movie. The movie
is
great. It is like...
Yeah, in fact, I love the movie.
If you love the movie, you'll love the book. It's even better. It's so good.
Okay.
If you're like me and you like nerdy things, he is very into like the science. Everything is...
Does he tell you how the rocket launches?
Oh, very much so.
Angular,
yeah. Nice. very, very scientific. It's brilliant. It's fantastic. So I can highly recommend the book, and I can obviously, the movie is very, very good. Andy released a new book, I think literally last week it was released. In fact, let me see if I can find. It was released.
And no, it wasn't. You've last read
week.
It already.
It was released on the 4th of May. It wasn't last week. But what it has already been, the film rights to this book have already been picked up, and Ryan Gosling is already set to star in it. I was just like, I wonder if. Oh, it has. Okay, fair enough. They're not messing around.
Wow. And
apparently they must have had a pre-release of the book because the film adaptation was bought in early 2020. So I'm guessing so.
People were very excited for this book. What is it called?
It's called Project Hail Mary, and it is okay. A really, really good book. I can't stop telling people about it. And the problem is, being in isolation, self-isolation, it's really hard to tell people about it.
Just hanging a sign in your window. Have you read this?
So the premise is, Martian, it's all about space. It's all about people going to space and having to solve problems. So essentially, the book is about a chap that wakes up... in fact, the book starts with this guy waking up and he has no idea who he is, where he is, what's going on. And the book develops. I don't want to give too much away, but essentially the backdrop of the book is that the world is going through this apocalyptic event, and the person who wakes up has to solve this apocalyptic event. And it is very, very, very good. It's a very, very plausible story. It is just
interesting.
I really don't want to give anything away because
it sounds really intriguing as a concept. Is it space or
space? It's space.
Space.
And the project to solve this is called Project Hail Mary. And there is space travel involved. It is just very, very good. And I'm not a scientist, but
what
everything that they say is kind of backed up with science. So
I thought you did an A level in physics. Did you not?
I have an A level in physics.
You have an A level.
Don't ask me what grade I got because I don't want to tell you.
It's part of the alphabet. That's all you need to know.
It's part of the alphabet. Yeah.
Nice.
It's part
of the alphabet.
The lower in the alphabet it is, the better. That's what I've been told. but it's everything is kind of backed up with a bit of science, so it feels really plausible.
It feels like it could be
a little bit like The Martian. The Martian does that. So I think Andy Weir, who wrote it, I think he was a programmer, but he, I think he's kind of speaks to scientists to make sure what he says is good. So anyway, I don't want to give anything away. It's very, 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 very.
That sounds fantastic.
Highly.
And do you think, having read the book, have you finished it?
I haven't finished it. I'm only 50% of the way through. But this is one of those books that I. So I only tend to read books as I'm going to sleep. Don't really read books any other time. I have gone to read this book at other times, not just because I'm in self-isolation. Yeah, I've been like...
A real page turn.
Oh, yeah. If I could read it in one sitting, I could.
Forget the New York Times bestseller accolade. If it's a Michael Bird, I'll read it during the day. Then you know it's a good book.
Yeah, that's a good book. That's a good
okay.
book.
Okay. And do you think Ryan Gosling will be a good protagonist?
Don't know.
Did you do any dancing in this book? Because I don't know if you saw on the internet, but a video of Ryan Gosling dancing as a 12-year-old has been released.
Yes, I saw that. Okay, that's the second thing that I'm going to bring to you. There was a video of Ryan Gosling. I saw it on Reddit. He was going for it, wasn't
He's
he?
He's got some moves,
big,
hasn't he?
Like a big troop of girls. He must have been what, like...
He was 12.
Was he 12?
He was 12 years old, yeah, during that performance. And I bet that's what he used as his audition to go into La La Land. He's like, can you dance? Watch this video.
Can I dance? Can I dance?
I invented dance, basically.
Yeah, well, he has some moves on him. Was he like was he a Disney one? Did he grow up?
I don't think he was a Disney one. No, I think he was more organically grown.
He wasn't grown in Disney World.
No, exactly. It's free range.
There's a Ryan Gosling ready to be picked. Yeah, so anyway, as a reminder, that's called Project Hail Mary by Andy Weir, available in all good bookshops. Support your local bookshop. But it's also available on Kindle or other, which is how it's tangentially linked to the internet.
Support your local Jeff Bezos.
Or audiobook. You can also buy audiobook.
I wonder who reads that. Interesting. Well, that sounds like a very good recommendation. I will.
Do you read books?
I'm a reader. I'm like you. I like to read before I go to bed on my Kindle.
What are you reading at the moment?
I'm currently reading a fantasy series written by Brandon Sanderson.
We should share book recommendations. I thought you were going to say something very robot-y, like The Dictionary.
I only read the binary. Anything in binary, basically.
Yeah, source code. You know the Matrix? That's what I read.
Yeah, I read everything, everywhere. I see it all. Yeah. Anyway, so my cool thing for this week... sounds like I said Michael.
Yeah, my cool thing. I listened. Yes. Okay.
Michael thing. My cool thing this week is, have you ever heard of the band Wintergarten?
Wintergarten? No, Wintergarten. Are they German? Garten? What's it called?
Yeah. They are indeed Wintergarten. Actually, no, they're not German. They're from Sweden.
Sweden.
Probably shouldn't say they're German if I don't know them. They're from Sweden. Sounds like they're German though, doesn't it? It took me a second to click onto the article. They are from Sweden.
Nice.
They're an electronic slash experimental pop, as they are officially listed. Anyway, I saw that they had created a machine to make their music for them. And I'm not just talking about one of those boxes that you hit the buttons and it makes a drum sound and you put them all together and it makes a song. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a marble machine.
Oh.
So there's a video, they put up some videos on YouTube back from 2014 to 2016, where they created essentially a music box, you know, the little ones where you turn the handle and
it would
play music for you. They've done the same thing, but using marbles.
Ooh.
And it's hand operated, so it's got a crank that you play, and obviously the faster you go, the faster it will play. But this machine is made out of wood, and it uses hundreds and hundreds of marbles to filter through the machine. And each time you turn it, it will drop another marble into the system and it will know where to go and it will make a different sound depending on where it goes. And it recreates all sorts of different instruments, from a vibraphone.
Vibraphone.
That is.
It's like a xylophone-y type thing, isn't it? A vibraphone.
It can do bass guitar, cymbal, kick drum, hi-hat, snare, even microphones, contact microphones. It's an incredible machine.
I'm googling vibraphone because I'm... Oh, yeah, it is. I did get it wrong.
There you go.
It looks a little bit like a...
So for anyone that wants to see music made from marbles, I would highly recommend it. It's just a quick little video.
Have a little watch. Look for Wintergarten. It's a bit like OK Go, it sounds a bit like.
Yeah, similar to that.
You know, the people that did the little video on the treadmill, and then they did one where they drove this car through the desert with a drumstick arm playing pianos and guitars.
Exactly. Yeah, I love an automated machine that makes music. I think that's incredibly cool.
Yeah.
And they're apparently working on a new marble machine which is capable of going on tour. It's going to be called Marble Machine X, which I think is...
very, very Apple, isn't it?
It's very Apple.
You're going to love these features. That's what it says, isn't it?
Everyone comes out in a turtleneck. We've redesigned it from the ground up.
Is it? No, we think you'll love this. That's what they say, isn't it?
Yeah, we think
that's like Apple launch event. Bingo.
One more thing. anyone that wants to go see Wintergarten, they might soon be having a new marble machine to take on tour with them. There you go. Wow. I just think that was really cool. I love that people are taking an innovative approach to music and doing all sorts of different things with it, because too many people play guitar, you know. I've seen you play it and I'm like, ugh, where are the marbles?
Can you play guitar?
I can play guitar to grade one. I passed my grade one exam back in primary school.
You're better than me.
My claim to fame was that I could play the James Bond theme tune behind my head.
Wow.
Yeah. I know. That's the first thing I learned. I was like, you know what? I'm going to nail this. I'm going to be like Jimi Hendrix. Because I was like, who's the best guitarist in the world?
That's Mission Impossible. Hang on. What's James Bond?
Yeah, that speed as well.
Do you reckon you can still do it behind your head?
I'd give it a go. Next time we meet up, we'll do a video.
Yeah. I'm up for that. Okay. Well,
there you go.
Thank you. Thank you.
Are you going to learn how to play the marble machine? I reckon I can play that one.
Yeah. I think we just put some marbles in and just...
Exactly.
Spin a handle, crank, and then like a flattened 2p coin comes out, and then it plays music. Anyway, with that, I think it's Rob. I think it's Rob. And Rob, I think it's also time to end the show.
Hello.
So, listeners, thank you for joining us for this episode of Interneted. We hope you've enjoyed it. And yes, internet is, of course, hosted, produced.
The internet. The whole internet.
Did I say the internet?
He did.
Interneted is hosted, produced, and written I mean, those three words are very loose, aren't they? From this performance. Rob, did you edit the script? Because it says, written by Rob Murgatroyd and Succeeded.
I did edit the script, because I think last time we said something else where I said I'd Murga failed. But I Murgatroyd and I succeeded this time.
Internet is hosted, produced and written by Murgatroyd and Succeeded. And me, Michael Bird.
There you go, nice and simple. If anyone wants to listen to another episode, we're releasing episodes every week. So make sure you don't miss out on our next episode by hitting subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast from. And don't forget to give us a bodacious 5-star rating.
So thank you so much for tuning in. We hope you have a wonderful week, and we hope to see you next week for the next episode of Interneted. Bye-bye!
Bye!